Let's turn to the Word of God, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11, we read the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We turn to our text this morning, this afternoon, which is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, the verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, the verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? May the Lord. Beloved congregation, one of the greatest privileges we have as believers is that we may come before Almighty God and pray, that we may lay before Him all of our needs, our concerns, and our fears, our burdens, our desires, and that we may do so at any time and at any place and in all circumstances. It's a wonder that God grants us this privilege. But have you ever wondered if prayer does any good? Have you ever wondered, does God really hear my prayers? Will He answer my prayers? Well, the Lord Jesus says yes. We come in our study of the Sermon on the Mount to some of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture. The words of our text, Matthew 7, the verses 7 through 11. In these verses, the Lord Jesus encourages us to pray. And he promises that if we persist in prayer, God will most certainly hear us. That's what he says. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And then, as if to make sure that we really get it, he says the same thing in different words in the next verse. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This is not the first time that the Lord Jesus addresses the matter of prayer in this sermon. He did so earlier, you remember, in chapter 6, the verses 5 through 15. There, Jesus taught us that when we pray, we should not be like the hypocrites who love to pray, standing at the street corners and in the synagogues, that they may be seen of men. But rather than follow the example of the hypocrites, Jesus says when we pray, we should enter into our closet. And when we have entered in, we should shut the door and we should pray in secret to our Father who sees in secret, knowing that our Father who sees in secret shall reward us openly. He also taught that when we pray, we should not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For, he says, our Father knows what we need even before we ask him. And then you remember he taught us the words of the Lord's Prayer. Well, now, in our text, our Lord provides even more instruction on this vitally important subject of prayer. He takes it, as it were, a step further, and he assures us that God will hear our prayers, and he will answer our prayers according to his will. And so with that thought in mind and the Lord's help, we want to meditate on the words of our text under this theme: ask, seek, and knock. The three main words of our text: ask, seek, knock. And we'll consider three things. First of all, the persistence demanded in this prayer. Secondly, the petition required in this prayer. And then thirdly, the promise made in this prayer. The persistence, the petition, and the promise. Our Lord in our text urges his disciples to do three things when they come before the Lord in prayer. He urges them to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now, these three words, congregation, are not totally synonymous. Jesus is not saying the same thing using three different words. There is a certain development here. We could say there is a certain intensification of thought. The word ask is kind of a general word. I ask for the things that I need. But the word seek is a bit more specific, and it's a little more intense. I seek for the things that I need, but I cannot find. And this implies an effort on our part. It implies an earnest endeavor to obtain. So that the person who seeks is the person who expends great energy and great effort in trying to find the thing that he is looking for. The word knock is even more specific and even more intense. When I want to get into a room, I will knock on the door. And if that door is locked, then I will knock some more. And I will keep on knocking until the person behind the door opens the door. I will be persistent. In fact, this idea of persistence is common to all three of the words that Jesus uses here, because in the original Greek, all three of these words are in what is called the present imperative. The imperative is another word for a command. These are commands of the Lord. And when these commands are in the present tense, that indicates an ongoing action. And so we could translate it like this. Jesus is saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The point is, we are to do this without giving up. And how quickly we give up. Prayer. We have a need. We have a burden. We bring it before the Lord. Perhaps it's not even related to ourselves. It may be related to our children, a loved one. And we bring it before the Lord. And we do that once or twice, and maybe a few times more, maybe even for months. And we see no result. We don't see the answer to our prayers. And so what happens? We eventually give up. We stop praying, at least about that specific thing. But Jesus says, no, don't do that. Jesus says, keep on. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The Authorized Version of the Scriptures calls this importunity. That's not a word that we commonly use in modern day English, but it's a good word, it's an important word. An importunate person is someone who keeps on asking for something to the point of being annoying. And those of us who have had young children in our homes, I think, know something about this. Sometimes a child, maybe when you're at the store, Walmart, and they see a toy that they want or a candy that they want in the aisle, the grocery checkout, and they say, Mom, can I have this candy? Can I have this toy? Mom says, no. And the child becomes importunate. And he says, please, Mom, I really want that toy. I really want that candy. Mom says, no. And the child keeps on going and going. And going, and keeps on asking until eventually Mom gets a little tired of it. That's importunity. And Jesus gives us an example of this in the parable of the importunate friend in Luke chapter 11, which we read together. The occasion was Jesus was praying, and his disciples asked him to teach them to pray, as John also taught his disciples, and then we read how the Lord later taught them the words of the Lord's Prayer. And then, as if to encourage them not to cease in prayer, our Lord proceeded to tell that parable of this importunate man. This man who had a friend who came to him, and he wanted hospitality. And in those days, it was very important. They couldn't just go to a hotel for a bed to sleep in. They couldn't just go to a restaurant for a meal. They relied on the hospitality of strangers to provide them in their needs. Well, this man came to his friend late at night, and the man had nothing in his house. He had no bread. And so he goes to his other friend, and he knocks on the door, and it's midnight by this time. And the man asks for some bread. And the man inside the house says, don't bother me now, it's too late now, I'm in bed with my children. But the man doesn't give up, and you can imagine him standing there in the street in the middle of the night. Everybody's in bed, it's dark. And he keeps on knocking at the door. And every time his friend says, go away, he stands there and he keeps on knocking. And he doesn't stop knocking until his friend gives him what he is asking for. And Jesus uses the word importunity here. Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. It was because of the man's importunity, of his persistent asking, that his friend eventually gave him what he wanted. Oh, congregation, so it is when it comes to prayer. God wants us to come to him with all of our needs, all of our burdens, all of our cares, our fears, our questions, our doubts. He loves to hear us speak to him about these things. And as I said already, we may do so at any time, day or night. The Lord never slumbers. He never sleeps. His ear is always inclined to the prayers of his children. And he wants us to keep on doing so. He wants us to be importunate in prayer. Why does God want us to be importunate? Well, because when we are importunate, it shows that we really desire the thing that we are asking for. It's not just a passing fancy, but it's something that we have our heart set on. Something that we cannot live without. Something that we desire so much that we will not stop bringing it before the Lord. I'm reminded of the story of Jacob wrestling with the Lord at Peniel. Sometimes that's used as an illustration of how the people of God wrestle with the Lord in prayer. I think there's something appropriate to that. And you remember how the angel of the Lord, who we believe, of course, was the pre-incarnate Christ, how he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and Jacob began to limp. And at one point, the sun was coming over the horizon and God said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And there's Jacob, and he's clinging to the Lord. He can hardly stand up because his hip is out of joint, and he's hanging on to the Lord, and he's saying, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." What a beautiful picture that is of the child of God wrestling in prayer before the Lord. How importunate Jacob was. He wanted God's blessing so much that even though physically he was unable to stand and he was utterly exhausted from wrestling with him all night, he says, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Oh, is this true of you and me, congregation? Are you importunate in your prayers? It's not easy. We can so easily become discouraged in prayer. I said already, we can ask for something and we can ask for it again and again and again and again and again. And there's no answer, at least there doesn't appear to be an answer. And we can sometimes, if we're not careful, we can sometimes begin to think, "Well, the Lord doesn't care about me. And the Lord doesn't care about my situation and my concerns. And the Lord doesn't hear me. The Lord doesn't answer me." It's not true. And it's precisely in such a situation that the Lord comes to us, as he comes to us also this afternoon. And he says, "Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking." Such are the prayers that the Lord delights to hear. Such are the prayers that the Lord will also answer. Yes, our Lord urges persistence in prayer. But now, what are we to ask for? What is it that the Lord will always give? And that brings us to our second point. Congregation, when we pray, we ask God to do or to give certain things. And that's the case here as well. And Jesus says we are to ask and seek and knock on the door with a view to obtaining that which we do not have, but we absolutely need. Now, what is that exactly? What is that which we do not have, but which we absolutely need, and therefore are commanded in our text to ask for, to seek for, and to knock on the door for? Well, there are some in the Christian church who say we can ask God for anything, and God will give it. And according to these people, they say that God wants us to be happy, and He wants us to be fulfilled. And so whatever we want, if you want more money, if you want a bigger house, if you want a nicer or fancier car, if you want to be successful in your business, just ask God. And if you ask God with a sufficient amount of faith, that He will give it to you, whatever it is. And they will cite the verse in our text, and they will say, well, you see, Jesus Himself said, ask and ye shall receive. So ask and you shall receive. But we need to be careful, congregation. For the truth is, and the Word of God also teaches, that God doesn't always give us what we ask for. Sometimes God says no. And that is not because God is mean or stingy. He is most certainly not. It is because not everything that we ask for is good for us. And we don't always see that. We think that we know it all so good. We think we know exactly what we need and when we need it. And we forget sometimes that the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. But the Lord sometimes says no. And it's a good thing He does. Imagine you as parents gave everything that your son or daughter wanted. So every time you went to Walmart and they said, I want that, you say, okay, I'll give it to you. I want this, say, okay, I'll give it to you. Doesn't matter what the cost, I'll give it to you. I'll pay for it. Can you imagine what kind of a child you'd produce? You'd produce what we would call a spoiled brat. And so it is in spiritual life too. Beloved, if God gave us everything we asked for, it wouldn't be good for us. You see, we only see such a small part of the picture, but God sees the whole picture. He sees our whole life in front of us. He knows exactly what we need at exactly the right time. So what are we to ask for? What is it for which we are to seek? Well, again, there have been some who have taken this verse and they have applied it to salvation. And they have said, based on this verse, that the Lord will save whoever asks Him for salvation. And therefore, this verse tells us that we need to keep on asking the Lord to save us, or to regenerate us, or whatever the case may be, to convert us. Now, there are several problems with that view. The first is it doesn't square with the context. Our Lord here is addressing Himself not to unbelievers, but to believers. Just look at the context. It is believers who are commanded not to judge and not to cast their pearls before the swine. We looked at that last week. Unbelievers don't have pearls to cast. So Jesus is clearly speaking about believers. He's telling believers to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. The other problem with this view is this, that it implies that God is almost reluctant to save anyone, or that salvation is virtually impossible, or that it is so complicated that we have no choice but to keep on asking and to keep on seeking and to keep on knocking. There's almost this impression created that God is standing behind the door with His arms folded, steadfastly refusing to open the door. But is that a biblical picture of God? Do we have anywhere in the Scriptures this sense that God is a stingy miser who keeps his salvation to himself and only doles it out a little bit to one here and one there and maybe one over there, and the rest go lost, even though they're knocking, and even though they're seeking, and even though they're asking? Is that a biblical picture of God? Oh yes, I know God is sovereign. And I know that only the elect will be saved. It's all true. But God also says in His Word, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life and drink." And He says, "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come and let him buy wine and milk without money and without price." Oh, congregation, the picture that we have of God in the Scriptures is a God who delights to save. A God whose ear is inclined, we could say, to those who are seeking Him and knocking at the door. He is the God who freely saves anyone who calls out to Him. Nor is salvation complicated. We make it so, but it is not so. So we go back to the question, what are we to seek for? What are we to ask for? Well, Jesus tells us Himself in verse 11 of our text. He says we are to ask for good things. Good things. And that word good here implies that they are good in the sight of God. Not what we think is good, because our understanding of good is corrupt and tainted by sin. But what God thinks is good. Because God is the source, the ultimate source, and the ultimate standard of all good. We are to ask for the things that God thinks are good things. Now, what are those things? What are the things that God regards as good? And we can better answer that question when we keep in mind the context. Context is key. It's key to every passage, especially this one. You may remember, congregation, that by the time Jesus speaks the words of our text in this sermon, He had given His followers a whole list of challenging demands, difficult demands. They had to rejoice when they were being persecuted. They were not allowed to harbor anger or lust. They could not utter lawful oaths. They were not allowed to retaliate, but they had to go the extra mile. They had to love their enemies. They lay up for themselves treasures in heaven, trust in God for material things. They were not permitted to judge or to cast their pearls before the swine. At one point, at the end of chapter 5, you remember, He even makes this astounding statement that we are to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. That's a tall order. Who can do this? With the Apostle Paul, at the end of the sermon, we come to the point and we say, who is sufficient for these things? Who can possibly live up to this? And the answer, of course, is no one. At least not in and of ourselves we can't. We are so sinful and our faith is so weak, left to ourselves, we'll never live like this. We can never live up to the demands of the Sermon on the Mount. It's utterly and absolutely impossible. And yet we must. All of the commands in the Sermon on the Mount are meant seriously. This is how God expects His people to live in this world. So the question is, how? How can we live like this? And now, as Jesus comes to the end of the sermon, He gives us the answer. The solution does not lie in us. The solution lies in God. We must ask Him. We must seek for Him. We must knock on His door. And when He opens the door, what are we to ask Him for? We are to ask Him for all of those gifts and graces that will enable us to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ. And that can include any number of things. Think of all the gifts and graces that God bestows on His people. Wisdom, love, patience, charity, discernment. Do you see a pattern there? All of these are worked in the hearts of God's people by the Holy Spirit. These are all gifts and graces of the Spirit. In fact, isn't that exactly what Jesus teaches again in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 11? That's why we read it. After assuring His disciples that God will indeed grant them everything that they ask, even more so than our earthly fathers would give us earthly things, Jesus says this statement, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Now Jesus doesn't speak about good things as He does in our text, but He speaks of the Holy Spirit. And rightly so, because ultimately it is the Holy Spirit that we need. It is the Holy Spirit who works in us the gifts and the graces that we need to live our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we are to ask for. This is what we are to seek. This is what we are to knock on the door for. Our daily prayer should be, "Lord, give me a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit." And all that He does in and for His people, that I may live the way that Thou wantest me to live. And congregation, when the Lord hears that prayer, He will most certainly answer it. And that brings me to my third point. Congregation, God will never refuse to give good things to those who ask Him. Good things, as we have defined that a moment ago. And I say this because this is what Jesus Himself says. He says, "Ask and you shall receive." Not might, not maybe, but "you shall." "Seek and you shall find." "Knock and the door shall be opened." And then, as I said already, he repeats the same, using different words in the next verse, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." God will answer this prayer. Why? On what ground will our prayers be answered? And then we might be tempted to think Well, it is only on the basis, on the ground of the mediatorial intercession of Jesus Christ, because he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for his people, and it's only because Christ intercedes for his people that God will hear and answer their prayers. And that's all true. But that's not what Jesus says in our text. There's another ground. And that ground is certainly not anything in us. There is absolutely no reason in us why God should hear and answer our prayers, because we are sinners, and as sinners we have forfeited every good gift from God. We have no right to expect God to hear us because of us. So on what ground will God hear our prayers? And our Lord tells us it's on the ground of his fatherly goodness and care. Listen to what Jesus says. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? This is another example of an argument from the lesser to the greater. And Jesus uses this style of argumentation several times in his sermon. In this case, he imagines a son coming to his father, and the son is hungry. And he says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat? And he asks the question, would his father give him a stone? Now, a stone may look like a loaf of bread. Some stones look like bread. They're round and they're brownish in color. Would the father give him something that looked like bread, but wasn't bread? In fact, something that was completely inedible? You say, of course he wouldn't. Because a father cares for his children. And it's the father's job to provide for his children. And so when the son asks him for bread, he will do everything in his power to give him a loaf of bread. And then he gives another example. Imagine that the father gave him a serpent, which is not only, according to the law of Moses, unclean, but also potentially dangerous. Not even to mention unsatisfying. And again, the answer is, of course he wouldn't. He will do everything in his power to provide for the needs of his children. What is more, Jesus says, he will do so even though we are evil. That's what he says. We are evil. What a damning indictment of the human race. This is Jesus' pronouncement of the whole human race. You are evil by nature. Is that not true? Evil. Jesus doesn't say, well, you're partially evil. There's still a lot of good in you, or even some good, even a sliver of good. No. You're evil. This is how we are. Now, it is true, of course, that we are not as evil as we could be. At least not most of us. Because of God's common grace, God restrains that evil tendency within us and within all men. And if he didn't do that, society would cease to function. We wouldn't be able to live in this world. We'd be at each other's throats constantly. And we wouldn't even care about providing for our children. And yet, in spite of all of this, we are, Jesus says, at root, evil. Now, he says, if that is what you are like, if you are truly evil, and yet you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is pure goodness, who does not have a trace of evil in him, and who loves his people so much that he gave them his only begotten Son to die for their sins, how much more will he not give good things to them that ask him? Oh, so much more. More than we can ever imagine. And therefore we may come to him. And we may ask him. And we may seek. And we may knock. And we may do that knowing that our asking and our seeking is not in vain. For it's in the way of us asking, it's in the way of us seeking, it's in the way of us knocking on the door that God is pleased to bestow upon us the things that we need. It's in the very nature, it's in the very character of God. He is a good God. He is a loving God. And for God not to give what we ask, for God not to allow us to find what we seek, for God not to open the door when we knock, would be a contradiction of who God is and a denial of his goodness and of his love. Oh, do you believe that tonight? Maybe there's someone here tonight who says to himself, well, that all sounds very good, Pastor, but I can recall many times in my life that I asked for something that I didn't get from God. You see, now we come full circle, don't we? And of course, that may be so. We've seen already the Lord doesn't always give us what we ask for. That's a good thing. But you need to ask yourself this question. Did you ask for the right thing? Did you ask for what would be classified by Christ himself as a good thing? And I say that because many times we ask for things that are not good, at least not according to the Lord. We ask for things that we don't need. Or we ask for things that are not necessarily good for us, even though we think they are. In such cases, congregation, we should be grateful. James says in James 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. But this is the point that Jesus is making here. God will never refuse to give us good things. The things that we need in order to live as disciples of Christ in this world. Now, he may not give these things right away. We may have to keep on asking. We may have to keep on seeking. We may have to keep on knocking. In fact, I think that's true for every child of God. We'll have to keep on asking and knocking and seeking for the rest of our lives. It's the way it is. It's the way God has ordained it. This is what delights him. He delights when his people come to him and they keep on asking and they keep on seeking and they keep on knocking. And he may not necessarily give them what they ask in the same measure. Some may have more than others. God is sovereign. But listen. He will give them. It's the promise of his word. It's part of who he is. It's his character. And so let us not be discouraged. I said already that the Lord in this sermon gives us a tall order. He commands us to do many things, things that left to ourselves we could never do. And let us not throw in the towel, congregation. Let us never be those who throw up their hands in despair and simply say, well, this is impossible. I'm done. There's no way I can live like this. No. Rather, let the commands and the expectations of this sermon cause us to go to the Lord and to ask and to seek and to knock for the grace that we need to be the kind of person that God wants us to be, to live the way God wants us to live. Such a prayer. God will always hear and answer. Therefore I say, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen.